This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palka, in for Ira Flatow. If you took two cottonwood trees and you planted one of them in New York City and the other in the Hudson Valley, which one do you think would grow faster? Would you believe the city tree? That's exactly what a new study published this week in the journal Nature has demonstrated. The reasons aren't what scientists expected. It turns out that ground-level ozone is higher in the country than it is in the city, and trees seem to like the lower ozone in the city more than the higher ozone in the country. Dr. Gillian Gregg is the scientist who made these observations. She was a graduate student at Cornell University and at the Institute for Ecosystem Studies in Millbrook, New York at the time of this study. She's now located at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Western Ecology Division in Corvallis, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Dr. Gregg.
Hello. Glad to be here.
Okay. I'd like to invite our listeners to join in this conversation about trees. Our number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And if you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. So, Dr. Gregg, before we get into trees, I want to ask you a question about ozone, because it seems a little bit hard to believe, you know, for people who live in cities like New York, when they're constantly hearing about bad air days with ozone levels too high, to suddenly find out that they're lower than the countryside. So can you explain that to begin with?
Yes, I can. It's not that the concentrations are higher in the country. It's that the cumulative exposure is higher in the country. So there's two different things you need to know about ozone. And the first is that it's a secondary pollutant. So the primary precursors are emitted in the city, but then they have to react in the presence of sunlight over time before the ozone is formed. So by the time you have the ozone, that same air mass is in the rural environment.
So in other words, the ozone forms over the city, and then the air comes and blows it over to the country.
Exactly. But then it's slightly more complicated than that, because the reactions of ozone formation are cyclical. So the same primary precursors that react to form the ozone also will react with the ozone to remove it from the atmosphere as soon as it's formed. So long as that air mass stays in the city, you get this continual production and depletion of ozone. Whereas as soon as that air mass moves to the rural environment, those primary precursors are no longer there, so the high ozone exposures remain in the atmosphere for longer.
I see. So it
may not be. And so when we say that ozone's higher in the country, it's not that the concentrations are higher, it's just that the high concentrations remain for a longer period.
I see. So it's, okay. Oh my goodness, you know what just popped into my head? Integrating the area under the curve.
That's what we do for,
That sorry, it was a frightening calculus moment there. I mean, not frightening, I'm sorry. It's just I wouldn't have thought about it until you just mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
But interesting.
It's quite interesting, because when you look, we think of the typical ozone patterns. I mean, in the city, you hear about high ozone and not to go outside, and you think of it, okay, it's only in the city that it's high. But if you know a little bit more, you also hear that it can be high downwind of the city. So when you look at these individual one-hour peak exposures, you typically expect to have high ozone in the city, higher downwind of the city, and then low in remote sites. But that's not what we found when we go and we look at these cumulative ozone exposures. What happens in that case is that the cumulative exposure in the city, in New York City, was lower than anywhere throughout the northeastern United States. And our rural sites, they were not extraordinarily high or ozone exposures like you expect in a high ozone plume downwind of a city, but they were actually just your generic average rural site representative of any, you know, the mean rural site throughout the Northeast.
So you kind of backed into that result, because you didn't just go to New York City and put up an ozone meter. You went to New York City and started planting trees. Why were you doing that?
Well, we were really interested in studying the effects of, you know, anthropogenic environmental changes. And when I say
anthropogenic, what are we talking about?
That means man-caused.
So it's the stuff, you know, the cars and the factories and the what have you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we used to just say pollution, but now we look also at global warming and elevated CO2 and increased nitrogen deposition, and those might not be considered pollutants, and so we have another term for pollutants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really wanted to look at those effects, and most people, when they go ahead and look at these human-caused changes in the environment, will pick one factor out and do a very controlled experiment and determine precisely what's going on. So you hear of studies looking at elevated temperature or elevated CO2 or acid rain or heavy metals. But in the real world, all of these things change together. So as you have to, you know, go ahead and start looking at two or more factors together, you find that there's interactions between factors, and it's very difficult to build up to a realistic picture of what might actually happen. So what we did is we went out looking for a site that had the highest concentration of the most different pollutants so we could measure the actual net growth response to multiple different factors. And then given that response, work backwards to determine the relative importance of the different factors.
And without revealing a confidence, if you're not allowed to, I understand, where did you plant these trees in New York?
Oh, that's fine. It's in the city. They were at the New York Botanic Garden in the Bronx.
Uh-huh, sure.
The Hunts Point Sewage Treatment Plant in the South Bronx.
Uh-huh.
Con Edison Fuel Depot in Astoria, Queens. And Eisenhower Park in Hempstead, New York.
Wow.
And we thank all of those people for letting us use their sites.
Okay, so what were the main differences, I mean, in terms of what the trees did in the city versus the country?
It was in your introduction. They grew dramatically larger.
Okay.
But the thing is that...
Give me a sense of that. How much are we talking about in a given season?
When I planted them out in the beginning of the season, they were 6 to 8 inches in height. And by the end of the season, in the country, they were up to my waist, and in the city, they were nearly as tall as I.
And how tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
Okay, I realized.
Yeah.
I read that, and I thought, well, I have to find out what that means.
How tall she is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had some interesting ways to show that it was not the soil that the trees were planted in.
Exactly. So, you know, obviously, if we see these net growth differences between urban and rural environments, we need to begin to tease apart all the zillions of factors that vary. So the first cut was to say, well, are the factors most important above ground or below ground? So we went to urban and rural sites and collected the soils and took them all to one site and grew these cottonwoods in all the different soils. So we could say, okay, do plants always grow less in the urban soils? But then we had these different soils at a whole series of urban and rural sites. So we could say, within any one soil type, do plants always grow less in New York City? But what happened was there was no consistent effect due to the soil. Sometimes they grew worse in the urban soils, but sometimes they grew better. But no matter which soil I grew them in, they always grew double in New York City. And that result was consistent for up to 8 different sites, 11 different soils, 2 different transects, and 3 consecutive growing seasons.
Wow. I mean, that must have been quite a delight to see that. I mean, it's one thing to get what you expect, but it's nice to get something you don't.
Well, I wasn't initially delighted, I suppose.
I was like, uh-oh, yeah. Another 4 more years of graduate school.
Well, but then, you know, as soon as we at least knew, okay, well, it's something above ground, and we've got to then tease apart, okay, there's still, you know, the half a zillion factors that are left between the different pollutants and climatic variables that that could change between these different sites. But we grew the plants next to climate and air pollution monitoring stations so we could look at all of these variables and determine which factors could be accounting for the growth differences.
Okay, I'd like to invite our callers to join us. Our number is 1-800-989-TALK. And let's go to Steve in Sacramento. Steve, what's your question?
Well, basically, you're starting to discuss it right now, but, you know, a zillion factors is probably an understatement. And I was just wondering if you'd go into a little more detail about how you could eliminate or you know, zero in on the ozone as the single important factor and eliminate combinations and so forth. I mean, there must have been compounds that are in the air that were not. There must be
right.
compounds in the air that you didn't select for.
Well, I'll give my explanation, and then I'll be interested to hear what you think about it. So we went, you know, we had all these different pollutants and climatic variables that were monitored at the different sites, and we had to come up with variables that would make plants grow more in New York City. So of all, you know, of almost all of the pollutants that we compared between these urban and rural environments, they're all high in the city. But we know that the pollutants are going to make plants grow less. So those factors aren't going to be accounting for a doubling in growth. But then, of course, urban environments are warmer due to this urban heat island effect. You also have elevated CO2 concentrations and increased nitrogen deposition. So any of those factors, we thought, would easily explain the increased growth. And I don't know, I don't want to go, I could go into as much detail as you want.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time to do that. So
I'll just say we did a whole series of experiments that ruled any of those three factors out. And they're well outlined in the Nature paper, which is quite, it's pretty easily read. It's not too bad. It's not too scientific.
Is that good enough, Steve?
Sure. Are any more details available on a website or anything?
Well, I would read the paper. And you can download that off of Nature or, I would read the paper.
I think there should be a link on our website to the paper, but I think it's just www.nature.com. But you can get it from SciFriday.com too, Science
Great.
Friday. Thanks for your call, Steve. You know, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I can't let you go without asking you, what do you think the implications of this are?
Well, we really want to make sure people leave not thinking that the city was good, but that that there were detrimental effects in the country. So we need to be concerned not only about the high concentration of the pollutants in the city and their immediate impact on an urban environment, but also with these secondary reactions that can cause higher cumulative ozone exposures outside the urban core. So in other words, when we all go out to our country retreats thinking we're escaping the pollutants, we may not actually be escaping them, and what we need to do is curb them at their source.
Wow. But you're not saying don't spend more time in the country if you get the chance.
That's right. I'm definitely a country person myself.
Yeah, as an urban dweller, I don't think I could manage that as a recommendation.
No.
All right.
But yeah, if you want it to be less polluted in the country, we'll need to curb the emissions in the city.
Right. And there's no immediate implications. I mean, you're not suggesting people plant trees all over New York, are you?
No, and some people have asked me that, you know, maybe all the gardens should be in the city, but there are a lot of heavy metals in the soils. And a lot of vegetation does take up the heavy metals, and so even if plants are bigger, they may not be better for you.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid we've run out of time, and I apologize to the callers we didn't get to. It was a very interesting discussion. Thank you very much, Jillian Gregg.
Okay, thank you.
Jillian Gregg is at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Western Ecological Division in Corvallis, Oregon. And we'll be right back after we take this short break.